Amen. It's good to be back here today. This evening, we'll be in the Gospel of John getting started, continuing our studies. And follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Please be in prayer for Pastor Ron Newby. I forgot to mention this a while ago. He's been having heart problems. He's the pastor who preached for us at our church camp up in Tennessee. He's got some tests they got to start running on this coming week. He's already had some, so be in prayer for him, if you would. Nothing would come of it. Perhaps it's just stress. Maybe he needs to eat some crawfish. Cajun cuisine does a lot for you. John chapter, what I told y'all? 14. John 14. Let me say something to our security team. The second incident we had in the last couple of months, last two months, that they did not disturb the church at all in their care of our security. Brother Johnson did inform us that they caught the gentleman. He was wandering through the woods, found himself over into the Dollar General down here and asked him to use the telephone, all bloody and wet. So they did catch him. So I want to say thank you to our security team that we could continue to worship while y'all took care of the things necessary. And the other time with Miss Wagner when she fell ill in service. Y'all helped her out real quick. That's how it's supposed to work, decent and ordered. So I thank y'all for that. And glad Sarah's okay. She was in lockdown Friday at school over Gateway. Something incident happened there to the school, and then today she was almost in lockdown at church. So I have to get Sarah a badge of honor, bringing all this trouble our way. I'm glad she's safe. I'm glad all the students at Gateway was safe. Praise the Lord. Benji came and told me, and I was really disturbed. In such a fashion that when we got stopped, I was actually driving the school bus. I'd committed to drive the soccer teams to their away game. As soon as we got stopped, I started searching. Gateway lockdown, lockdown, Gateway, texting, what's going on? Nobody knows what's going on. And it came up and it said, lockdown at Gateway is over. So I lifted. So I screenshot it. I'm getting pretty technical here now. I screenshot it. I texted to my wife and to Benji and to Haley so they could spread the word. And Haley came back and said, Dad, that's in Mooreville, Illinois. So I said, oh, sorry. Who would know there was two gateways that had been in a lockdown? I didn't know. I mean, you got to read. John chapter 14 and verse number 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. It was one of the verses this morning. And so, if you hadn't noticed, dear friends, in our towns and our cities, there's more and more lost people around us. I mean, America is flipping the pendulum from lost and saved balance there. I mean, I believe now we're in a nation where there's more lost in the United States of America than they are that know Christ, really. I think so. It may have always been like that, but I think the majority is really just, you talk to people and every turn you get, they're trying to remove any aspect of God or religion from our society. Churches, if not careful, or not spending enough time on the emphasis of the absolute authority of the Word of God, and you get yourself in trouble there, because if you have no absolute authority, then every man does that for what's right in his own eyes. And then all of a sudden you have all kind of different ways to get to heaven, because my way is just as good as your way. And the blind lead the blind, they end up in a devil's hell. And so, you know, to be honest, there's less and less evangelism going on in America. There's just that simple. It's kind of ironic that the Great Commission, which we call the Great Commandment, he said, if you love me, keep my commandment. The one thing God has given us to do in this hour is our biggest and probably most single failure of Christian, is sharing Christ with others. Well, here, to be honest with you, it's kind of a scary thing sometimes, you know, if you try to talk to folks, especially if you're new at it. But, you know, it doesn't surprise me, though, because the devil would fight the greatest commandment of all. You know, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. He certainly don't want us to love God with all we got, because if we love God with all we got, then if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So, as we keep looking through there and studying this out, we're going to see some things about the Great Commission today from the Word of God as we begin to study it out. If you would, let's see, let's go to Matthew. No, let's not go to Matthew yet. Let me see what I want to do. Yeah, let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look and see. But I'm going to back up because the Great Commission is actually given in five different parts of the Bible. It's given in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts. But when we talk about the Great Commission, if you ask somebody what the Great Commission is, they will tell you, let's go to this verse. And they're absolutely right. It is Matthew 28. Let's read 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Great commission, great commandment given to us. And we as God's people are, if we're not careful, we're not only failing, we're failing very miserable. I was reading one article the other day. And, you know, articles can be twisted, bent, and to give opinions. But then I've also been around many, many Christians. I've pastored now. We went to Greece in 96, and I was there 10 years. And I've been here now 10 years. And so it's been over 20 years. So I've been around people. And, you know, Brother Jim, I've met some folks that have told me they've never once passed out a gospel tract. Not a gospel. So there's no way you can be a soul winner if you're not passing out the Word of God. To win souls, the Bible says you are what kind of person? If you're a... Very good. Excellent. You are wise. To be a soul winner. I've met other people that said they have never had the opportunity to share the gospel with another individual at all, and though they had been saved for many years. Don't get feeling down on yourself, because that isn't the whole purpose of this here. Whole lesson thing is that we as a church learn that it is God's plan for us to share the Word of God, plant water, and allow Him to bring the increase. So don't get to feeling bad, because you're still living. You have opportunity to correct what you haven't been doing. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what he says there. I believe with all my heart, everybody sitting here, they love God, or you wouldn't be here tonight. It's that obvious. It just simply is a fact that you'd be somewhere else. It just that simple. I remember when I first got married to my wife 31 years ago, I did not I told her I loved her, Brother Victor, but I did not know how to love. Did not. I didn't have a father that in my life, number one, I didn't have no man in my life that told me how to or showed me how to treat a woman at all. So I had to learn how to love. And you know, the crazy thing is, I'm still learning, Brother Hector. 31 years of marriage, you think, Pastor, you've got it figured out. 8 kids. You can sire 100 kids if you want. Don't make you love nobody. It's that simple. Love is a choice that we learn to do and in action. For God so loved the world. He did. Gave. So perhaps the most familiar verse of the Great Commission, a verse to give, would be this one that I just read out. But it is in 5 different places. And so that's what I want to kind of look at tonight. And kind of just get in a kind of a chronological order, you might say, of when and these scriptures and passages were spoken by Christ. Now, these are His words. They're not mine. Christ spoke these words, and these are His great commandments. And I'll be honest with you, dear friend, the burden of the local church must be fulfilled, it must be full of the Great Commission and the efforts of fulfilling the Great Commission. It should be our total driving point. Because these, you understand where we're at in time here. What has just taken place? Jesus has just done what? Rose from the grave. I believe personally, Brother Jim, as when I look at these chronologically, I believe the nail prints, wherever they are. Some say they're here, some say they're here, some say they're here. Because some they count the hand from there down. So wherever they pierced our Lord, I believe at these points and these passages, at His feet, and His nail-pierced hands were still wounds, open, not yet healed. So I don't know about you. I get a paper cut sometimes. And I'm just consumed by getting the paper cut. Get a hangnail. Man, I'm getting tweezers. I'm getting, I'm biting at the thing, and I'm trying to get it, And Lord help if you pull a muscle. I mean, you remember a couple of years ago? I've been so grateful that my prayer life worked. I prayed, God, don't allow these men to ask to do another softball team, and it's worked. I don't know if it's the prayer or the pain we was in. But I remember playing, and we had some injured folks. By the time the last game was done, it was like, I don't know if we were the Bad News Bears or the local emergency room team. I don't know. We were in pain. Bruises, Brother Felipe's leg, Brother Hector's hamstring, a foot. Who hurt their foot? Brother, was it you, Brother Randy? Was it your foot? Ethan, you hurt something? Your hamstring? I mean, he's the youngest of us. Man, ladies, when we get sick, we pull it, we get the blanket and we pull it up here. And we're concerned about me. Honey, you got to get up and go to work. You only got a cold. We've got bills due. Ooh, call them and tell them I'm about near to death. I can't. Here we have Jesus. Wounds. He tells Thomas, here, come put your hands in. Wounds. I believe personally, Brother Mike, the stripes that healed us were still open. Why do you think so, Pastor? Because the Bible says in the book of Psalms that His bones looked upon His bones. It means you could see them. So, Brother Ray, I'm thinking when the Lord has given us the Great Commission, He's standing there with open wounds. Sister Amanda, I'm thinking in His forehead where they pounded that thorns down into His brow. Sister Barbara, I'm thinking maybe where they plucked the beard. The hair hadn't yet grown back. And His concern, Brother Jim, is for souls. For souls. Not for Himself, not for the pain, but for souls, to give us a commandment that we might fulfill that commandment. And so I think it must be, it should be, and it has to be our greatest burden. Look with me over in John. Gospel of John. If you look at the time frame of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and when He gives the great commandments, I believe this here is the first portion of passages that you see. John chapter 20, verse number 19, 20, and 21. John chapter 20. Brother Jim, you got that already? John chapter 20, verses 19, 20, and 21. You please read that for us.
Then the same day, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, for the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands. Then the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As My Father has sent Me, even so send I you."
So we have divine authority right now in this passage. Jesus is there. He shows them His wounds. He says, "As My Father has sent Me," what did Jesus come to do? What was His whole purpose? To seek and to save that which was lost. To be a ransom. And the whole earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was that people might see Him as the Messiah, the Savior, the Lamb of God, that would be the atoning, that His blood would be the atonement for the sins of mankind. And here in this passage, He says, "As My Father sent Me here, I became poor so you could be rich. Now I'm sending you." We have a divine authority right here from God that teaches us that, hey, we need to be busy, we need to be going. "If you love Me, keep My commandments." That's what it says over there. So as we look at this, the great truth that I see that is established here is that in the Great Commission, it does not begin with the need of a man. It doesn't begin, we're not the beginning of the need. God didn't say, "Oh man, I'm going to send My Son to die on the cross of Calvary, but I need somebody to carry forth this here message." That's not the great need. The truth that we need to see here is that when we go forth with the gospel, we are going by His authority in obedience to His commandment, and God is saying, "Go for Me. Go for Me in His name." We're to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We're to do this in His name. Go as My Father sent you, I'm sending you. As My Father sent Me, I'm sending you. So you are going to fulfill the Great Commission, not in your power, but in Mine. How do you see that, Pastor? What do we read over in Matthew? "Lo, I am what?" What did it say in the first verse? "All what has been given to Me?" Power has been given to Me. So as we read here, he's showing his wounds, he's looking at his disciples, and he's telling them, now if my Father sent me, I'm going to send you, go for me. We have great authority. That's why whenever, you know, I'm out there, remember, when was that? A couple of years back, Brother Bernie, we were out passing out tracts over here in BBL, and somebody, we was almost done. Isn't it amazing, you're always doing God's work, and somebody gets bothered when you're almost done. And the police showed up. There was a cop. There was about five of us out there. And the cop showed up, asked us what we were doing. We told him what we were doing. It was out just from the church and passing out tracts. And, you know, and just, and he said, okay, just, you know, be careful and have a good evening. We were out by authority. God's authority had told us to go as a church. Now, so this is the first passage. The second that we see is over in Luke. Luke chapter 24, 46, 47, and 48. Luke chapter 24. So we have divine authority in John 20, 19, 20, 21. Now we're going to see something else here that goes along with the Great Commission. All these verses are after the resurrection. Christ has given us something to do. Brother Ray, are you there? Luke chapter 24, 46, 47, 48. Will you mind reading that? And ye are witnesses of these things. Now, we often speak of the need to witness. We often speak, we need to be witnessing. We need to be out telling people about Jesus. We need to share our faith. But I'm here to declare to you, dear friend, but before you can be a witness, we must be witnesses of something. That's what it says there. What is it, verse 48? Say it again there. Brother Daniel, you got your Bible there? And ye are witnesses of these things. Verse 48. Go ahead and read it for us.
Verse 48. And ye are witnesses of these things.
And ye are witnesses of these things. Of what? He just told us. What happened? Verse 45, and they opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And ye, which is a what? A noun. It is before the what? Come on, you English teachers, look at that there verb there. Tell me what is it before? The noun is comes before what? It's there. We have to be a witness, yes. But I think the reason that we are not witnesses of these things is because we are not experiencing Christ daily. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you're not born again. Apollos was saved. Apollos was born again. But Apollos was with zeal without knowledge. And he was brought under and taught and became a great preacher. How do you know that? Because later on in the scriptures, the Bible says that some said, I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. Why? Because he became a great man of God. You can't be hanging there. And so we need to understand we have divine authority as God's people. What does he say? Follow me and I will make you fishers. You know why we can't be fishers, man? We're not following. If you love me, keep my commandment. So that is why it is so difficult for us as God's people to be a witness of these things, is because we're not witnessing them daily in our own lives. Do you understand something? That repentance is a lifetime thing. It's not once in a blue moon event. We got to live it. Because we're all sinners in a body of flesh.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Sin will keep us from this book. And this book will keep us from sin. But if we're kept from this book, we are kept from keeping His commandments. Why? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God. Okay, the third time, as you read and you follow along, is back in Matthew, where we read. So let's go back there. I started off there, but I want to go back because that is the verse that we all say. If we were to ask, if somebody was to ask you now, if you didn't know, hey, where's the Great Commission? They are talking about in that passage. But it's actually through five books of the Bible as we go from the resurrection until the ascension, because that's when the Great Commission was given. So if you go there back to Matthew 28, and let's start in 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. Again, here we go. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. It's easy to get there, I'm going to be honest with you. They just went through a very traumatic time in their life. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, He says, I've got the power. He's already told us over in John, as my Father sent you, so send I you. Then He told us there in Luke, you have to be witnesses of these things. What? We need to be witnessing of Christ. And it is so easy for us as Christians to get sidelined and our attention, span is just taken away so quick. And that's a quail of the devil, or a ploy of the devil. I don't know what the right word is, but it's a trick of the devil, the wiles of the devil, to get us sidetracked. That's why when we're out talking with people about Christ, we need to stay on point and on subject. Hey, they don't need to know the history of Melchizedek if they're lost. But they're going to come up with it. Is Melchizedek in the Bible? Sure, he's in the Bible. But that's for another time, another study. You can know all you can know about Melchizedek and the order of Melchizedek, dear friend, but if you're not born again, ye shall not see the kingdom of God. She says, go. And then He says, and lo, I am with you. So He's given us divine authority. When we're gold, we're to witness of these things. What? The death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the new creation that He's made in us is the best witness of all. Study Paul's life. Every time he got to witness and talked about somebody about Christ, most of the time he went straight back to his testimony. I was headed up this dirt road. I was going to persecute. He told it all. All of a sudden, I saw a light knocked down, and I said, I heard a voice, and before I know it, and I'm talking, and the next thing you know, I'm born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He tells His testimony. Your testimony is powerful. It is part of the new creation. You were dead and quickened and made alive in Christ Jesus. Tell it. I mean, just tell it. And so he says that we got the divine authority. We have to witness about a particular thing. The death, the burial, the resurrection. Because that is what's going to save somebody. That's the gospel. And then we don't have to worry about doing it all ourselves. Because He said, lo, I am with you always. Amen. You know what the most scary thing with Romans about it before when I first started was? I was, how am I going to do this? I don't know how to do this. And then I figured out all I have to do is plant and water. It's God's job to do the saving. All I have to do is understand that all I need to do is be obedient and go. Spread the Word of God on many waters. And it shall not return void. And let me tell you something. And when I got out there and started, wow, it's tiresome. Then I realized here in this passage, he said, "Lo, I'm with you always." And guess what he said? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. And I'm sure to hear tell you that soul winning and sharing the gospel and the Great Commission surely got to fit somewhere into all things. I dare say it was the priority of the things. Because if you go study that passage in Philippians, it's dealing with missions. The whole passage there is dealing with missions. What is missions? Getting the gospel out. Getting the gospel out. So he's with us. We got divine authority. He sent us. We've heard the gospel message. We've been saved, born again, bought by the blood. So therefore we live like we are saved. That is witnessing daily that we are a new creature in Christ. Then he's with us. Then Mark 16. Mark 16. Boy, we got to get going. Man, time is going. Grab that clock and hold it, Brother Bill. Mark 16. Here's another passage. I told you, the Great Commission. Some people get all tired. Well, it's only in one place. No, it's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts. Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 15. And he said unto them, "Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Well, see, there's the folks saying you've got to be saved, and shortly thereafter, if you want to make it complete and whole, you've got to be baptized. But they forgot to read the half part of the verse 16. The latter part says, "But he that believeth not shall be damned." What does it say? You get born again, dear friend, you want to follow by faith the first steps of obedience, and that is to follow in believer's baptism. There. Right there in the scripture. It's plain as day. He that believeth is baptized. Oh, so he's got to be baptized. No, keep on reading. "But he that believeth not shall be damned." This, dear friend, and you go on and read it. It says, and there's signs of, look at verse 20. And then went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them. Praise God for that. And confirming the word with signs and followings. Let me tell you something, dear friend. When you preach the gospel because you go in divine authority and you share Christ, what you have witnessed personally, you've had a changed heart, changed lives, and you understand that Jesus is with you, dear friend, when you present that gospel message, dear friend, miracles take place. Miracles take place. People are born again. Homes put back together. Lives change. Made perfect, no way. But change, yes. Changed, yes. Lord, yes, changed. So you got these here places. So he sent us. We've witnessed the death, burial, and resurrection of our own life. We've been born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're living like we're saved. We understand that he's with us, because when we draw nigh to him, he draws nigh to us. Then when we present the gospel, this is the hook, line, and sinker. When we present the gospel and we water and we plant and we water and we plant, then Brother Ray, one day we see somebody that we personally shared the gospel with, shared scripture with, or prayed for, and we've been around them, and we see them born again, that miracle empowers us to do it again. That is the whole purpose of getting this out there, is seeing God work in other people's lives. When you see somebody call out to Christ, knowing they need him as their personal Lord and Savior, and you had a small portion of planting and water. Wow. You're talking about emboldening, strengthening, empowering, establishing you in your faith. Okay, preacher, well, I got it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But where's the ending point? Well, this morning in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8 is where it's told to us in the book of Acts, part of the Great Commission here. We always want an ending point. Where do we get off? Where do we get off this train? Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful I'm saved. I couldn't get myself saved. I can't keep myself saved. I'm glad I don't have to worry about getting off the train to know that I'm saved. I'm just waiting on Him to call me home. And He says, my sheep know my voice. They hear it. And when I call them, they will follow me. So I don't worry about where I got to get. When, you know, if we put witnessing and soul winning in a works type form, well, how much do I have to do? That's how we like to look at it. How much? And that's all we'll ever do, right there. And God knew that. Jesus knew that. That's why here in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. I declare unto you, dear friend, there is no stopping point. Quit looking for how far, how much, to the uttermost part of the world. So the gospel, there is no place to stop, because as long as there's lost people, God's willing to save. As long as there's somebody without Christ, without hope, God is willing to save. That's why He says there in Jerusalem. Well, we kind of do it like this. We get a map and we put our square around our Jerusalem. We said, man, I'm going to work. And God knew that's where we would stop, at our Jerusalem. No, you don't put, you got the whole map. And it's our responsibility solely if nobody else does it. Well, why? If you love me, keep my commandments. I'm telling you, sometime, dear friend, it was weighing upon me hard and heavy about canceling some of the visitation programs we have around here. It was. I mean, it really was. And I come to realization, oh, wait a minute. Not if they love the pastor, keep his commandments. If they love me, He said, they'll keep his commandments. And I said, Brother Jim, I'm not going to cancel it. If it's me and Brother Jim, Brother Bill, and one more, and Benji, on Thursday nights, we're just going to do it. We're just going to do it. Because I'm not going to erase the opportunity to be found faithful for God, because we will not grasp this great truth. Listen, wow, I told you to hug the clock. We've got... God has blessed Lock Haven with 14 acres out here. We've got an auditorium. I don't know how many sit. I you kind of count it as 750 down here on the bottom up there or something. Maybe in the beginning they said it'd fit 1,300. I don't know. Pews have been moved there. We've got Sunday school rooms back in the back that need to have somebody to say, you know, I can't teach a Sunday school class, but I'm going to pray that somebody will get a burden and get themselves together and get out here and find somebody, bring them in, run them to Christ, and build a Sunday school class so that God gets the glory. I mean, we've got 3 Sunday school rooms back. One of them's full of junk from 50 years of junk back there. It needs to be cleared out because that's God's house. This ain't a junkyard. This is God's house. God's not impressed with us keeping stuff for 55 years when we got a room back there that somebody could be discipled and trained in, that could be called to preach the gospel and be the next pastor of Lock Haven Baptist Church, could replace some of our deacons when they die off. They're not getting younger. I'm sorry, I don't mean up in no harm. You're going to die one day. All of us. I might die tonight. If God's given us this, dear friend, why are we not busy and occupying?
Amen.
I mean, if we want a church that only holds 100 people, why don't we sell all this, go get us an acre down the road, and put a church that only holds 100 people? Why? Because God put this here. And we, as God's people, need to be busy, faithful, winning souls to Christ. It's that simple. It's our job. It's not the Methodist job to fill this church. There was a Pentecostal group here this morning. this morning, Sunday school, wanting to rent our buildings. Amen. It's our job. We need to be found faithful. For God plucks up what He has blessed Lock Haven with and gives it to somebody else. Oh, preach, he won't do that. You better go and study the book. You better study the book. The Bible says, give an account of yourself. What you've done with that which I've done. Well, we buried it off in a corner, we put it in a hole, and we've got it hid. You know what he said? Take it from him. Give it to another. Take it from him. Give it to him. There's churches closing down all over the place. All over the place. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Father, we thank you. We ask you, Lord, to help us. We have a great responsibility as a church. Lord, we're not in the entertainment business. Lord, we are in souls. And our primary goal should be to see that people know Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. Not only here in this Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. We have a job to do. Lord, help us to show you that we love you by keeping your commandments. Thank you for this opportunity. Bless us tonight as we go home. In Jesus' name, amen.